When anyone receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages in your Bible, in sequence, in order that you may be able to make a choice for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number 9 in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in this series in numerical order so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of this series or to the tapes out of sequence can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of this series.
This is why he lets a spirit of sleep and a deluding influence come over people who draw near with their mouth and do not draw near to God with their heart. He lets them believe a lie. And we see it later. Now, verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the what? May I ask you something? Who is the house of Israel today? The house of Israel today are the ones that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is that clear? We are the Israel of God. We are the spiritual Israel of God. Now, for the vineyard of the house of the Lord is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah is a delightful plant. He became looking for justice. Now, justice is something right, being just in God's eyes, and discipline. Behold, what did he find? Bloodshed. Now, did I tell you how you take traditions right there and just beat someone to death at the spiritual things and come against them to where you shed the blood because you move them in under the law? You move them in under, into the flesh, that's how you shed blood. You see that? Now, in next part, for righteous, he looked for righteousness, but that's walking right in God's eyes. But what do you hear there? All right, you know what that cry of distress is? Look at me. This is what prisoners do. Prisoners are in the war of the mind, the will, and emotions. Their bodies being attacked. This is the cry of distress. He looked for the fruit of righteousness in there, but here's what he found. Was a cry of distress. And that's the powers of darkness right there have moved in. All right, now, turn with me to Luke 13, please. I mean Luke 3, I'm sorry. Luke 3. Luke 3. Luke 3. All right, now verse 7. Now here's John the Baptist. Him and the Lord Jesus talked a lot alike. He had the same teacher. Verse 7. He, John the Baptist, therefore began saying to the multitudes who were going out to be baptized with him, "You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee from the what? Wrath to come." Now, what's the wrath come? You saw that the wrath, like over in Ephesians 5, comes, and every place it comes on those who practice the lust of the flesh. Isn't that right? That's who the wrath comes on. Now, he said, who told you to flee from a wrath that's coming on you? You know, you looked over in John 8 there, and saw all their trees. Said, I speak the things, my father, you do the deeds of your father right there. You're walking your deeds of the devil. Your father's the devil. You do the desires of your father. Isn't that what he told them? And he said, here's some of them come down to be baptized. Who warned y'all to flee from the wrath to come on you? How'd you get to know about this? And then he goes on, coming to the Lord, verse 8. Therefore, he said, you snakes, you family of the devil. That's what a snake is. You know, the serpent's a family of the, you family of the devil. Therefore, you better bring forth what? Fruits in keeping with what? Repentance. Now, look at me. Here's what he said. This is very important. I want you to hear what I'm saying. He said, you family of the devil, who warned you to flee? How'd you know the wrath of God's coming on you? Who told you to flee from it? He said, I've got one thing I'd like to say to you. If you really are serious about this, you better be serious about this thing. You better, in your repentance, you better really be making a change. And there better be some fruit in your life that shows that you have really repented, snakes. You better be repenting. And he said, snakes, I want to tell you why you've been repented here. You better be repented in just a second since you got down here. Therefore, bring forth fruits in keeping repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham for our father, or I belong to some denomination, or I'm this, or I'm that. For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. And here it is. Are you ready, folks? Here's why you better bring forth and keep and repent, because here's what's on you, you family of the devil. And also the axe is already laid at the foot of the trees. You're already being cut down, you vipers. You better mean business. You better, because you're already being chopped down right now. Death is working in you. You're being chopped down, and you're drifting further and further and further all the time. This is what happens to people. The heart, they go further and further away from the Lord. You're already being laid at, the axe is already laid to rule the trees, and every tree therefore that does not bear good fruit, you better be repentant. You better bear fruits and keep your repentance, because if you don't bear good fruit, you're cut down and thrown into the fire. Okay? Now it's going to get plainer. It's going to get a lot plainer. See, we're still starting down here. It's all over the Bible. Now, let me give an example about something in about the flood. Please turn back to Ezekiel 13, please. I want to show you how this flood works while we're there. Close to that subject, this flood of words. The powers of darkness, what happened in the hedge is removed. What happens when people want to go be the boastful pride of life, making a name for something except the Lord Jesus Christ? In Ezekiel 13, verse 1. Ezekiel 13, verse 1. It's right after Jeremiah. Okay. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the what? Prophets of Israel. Are they prophets in Israel today, folks? God's had Israel since Exodus, hadn't he? That's Israel of God. All right. The prophets of Israel who preach and say to those who prophesy or preach from their own, their what? Oh, they've got their own inspiration they're preaching from. Listen to the word of the Lord. Here's what he said. I want you to preach to these preachers. I want you to prophesy, prophet. I want you to go say something to these people that's preaching from their own inspiration. And here's what I want you to tell them, prophet in verse 3. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the what? Now, I want you to remember, a foolish prophet, let me tell you, a foolish prophet is not standing on the word of God. A foolish heart is not standing on the word of God. He's deceived. I want you to remember the word foolish and mark it, this foolish prophet. Woe to the foolish prophet who are following their own spirit, and they're saying what? Nothing. He probably counts a lot. He's saying nothing. Why? God's not doing nothing there. That's why he's not seeing nothing. That's why he has to promote everything. And God doesn't do anything. You have to jack up the flesh and start promoting. Got to be excited about something. It's foolish prophets, you preach from your own inspiration. You've seen nothing. There's no power. Verse 4, O Israel, your prophets have become like foxes among the ruins. You've not gone into the breaches. See there? What's the breaches? Enemy comes in like a flood. Nobody lifts up a standard. Nobody lifts up the word of God. Nobody has faith in the word. He said, you've not gone up to the breaches, nor did you build a wall. That's the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ around the house of Israel. To stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. You didn't do that. You don't do that. You don't stand in the word. They see falsehood and lying divination, these false prophets, who are saying the Lord declares when the Lord has not sent them. Yet here's what they're hoping for. They hope for the fulfillment of their word so they'll look gooder and smarter and the boastful pride of life. All right, now, verse 7. Did you not see a false vision or speak a lie in divination when you say the Lord declares, but it's not lie I have spoken? This is what happened when you preach traditions. You're preaching a lie in divination. This is what you preach when you preach another Jesus. You're preaching a lying divination. When you preach another gospel, you're preaching a lying divination. When you preach another righteousness, you're preaching a lying divination. Now, the Lord declares, but it's not I who have spoken, verse 8, therefore thus says the Lord God, because you've spoken these falsehoods, You've seen a lie. Therefore, behold, I'm against you, declares the Lord God, verse 9. So my hand's going to be against the prophets who see these false visions, utter these lying divinations. They'll have no place in the council of my people, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel. They're not a god. Nor will they enter the land of Israel that they may know that I'm the Lord God. Verse 10, it's definitely because these people have what? They mislead my people. They misled my people by saying, peace, peace, safety. When there is no peace, there's a war. All the works of the powers of darkness have come to kill, steal, and destroy. The wolves are all over the place and moved right inside to destroy the congregation. And when anyone builds a wall, it looks like a Lord. You know, when they build a wall up there and make it kind of look good from the eyes of the flesh, when anyone builds a wall, see, it's not a wall of the glory of Jesus. When anyone builds a wall, behold, they plaster it over with whitewash, and it looks so good. With nickels, noses, and numbers, or whatever. Some person's reputation, or build a bunch of monuments that we can see with our eyes right there. Build up the house of the Lord on the bricks and stone instead of building up his temple to bear the fruit for God, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith, which is dying to the flesh, going to the cross, denying yourself, giving all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. They plaster it over with whitewash, verse 11. So you tell those who plaster it over with whitewash, it's going to fall. There will be, in my anger, I told you every time the wrath of God was there, and the anger of God, right behind it comes the powers of darkness. Look at there, it is. And in my wrath, and in my anger, mark wrath and anger. There will be a what? A flooding rains and hailstorms to consume it in my wrath. So I'm going to tear down the wall which you plastered over with whitewash. And I'm going to bring it down to the ground so that it's what? Where did we look at in Luke 6 there that the flood comes against? It comes against the foundation. Is that correct? Amen? I'm going to consume so that its foundation is laid bare, and when it falls, you're going to be consumed in its midst. And you'll know that I'm the Lord. Now let me ask you something. What kind of a foundation is it? Look at me. What kind of a foundation do you think it is that when your heart goes to build up numbers more than it does to build up the temple of Christ, what kind of a foundation is it that devils and terrors and lost people that won't come to the Lord right there that I can be joined with the heart is over here where you do discipline, die to the flesh, and purge sin? One of these is a wrong foundation. There's many wrong foundations, and there's many another Jesus. Now, let's go on there in verse 15. Thus I shall spend my what? My wrath on the walls, and those who plastered it over with whitewash, I'll say to you, the wall is gone, and all the plasters are gone that put that wall up are gone too, because he's letting them be destroyed. The plasters go with the wall. The ones that put these walls up are going to be destroyed and consumed with them. 16, you go along with the prophets of Israel who preach to Jerusalem, the church, who see all these visions of peace, peace, safety. Be a good denomination. Be a good this. Be a good church. Be a this. They see visions of peace and never deal with the flesh or never deal with the devil. Put up the faith against, ignore the devil. For her, when there is no peace, declares the Lord God. You remember what Paul called those Pharisees in Acts? He called them a whitewashed wall. You remember that? He said, you whitewashed wall. See, you just have a pit. You're pretenders, you adulteresses. Turn over to Isaiah 29, please. Isaiah 29. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Now let me tell you something, folks. When a person comes to the Lord with his head right here, he's going to drew his head and his flesh. He's going to get born again out of the flesh. He's going to draw near to God with his mouth. He's going to do good things, religious, but his heart's far from the Lord. The one who draws near to God in his heart right here is going to obey the Word of God. Those that love him will obey the commandments. And he'll put to death and he'll die because he'll love God more than he loves his flesh, himself. That he'll deny himself. He'll take up his cross and he'll follow the Lord. All right, now. You know in the Word when it talks about stumbling? Now, I want you to get this right here. Now, a person, when he's stumbling, you know one of the curse there over in blessings and a curse in Deuteronomy 8 said you will stumble at noonday. What? How do you stumble? At noonday. Noonday is the most light part of the day, isn't it? And at noon, the time that you have more light than anyone. So it's not talking that you're going to stumble because you can't see where you're going physically. You're going to stumble, look here, you're going to stumble in spiritual darkness. And sometimes this stumbling is called staggering. Now, let me tell you something that can make you stagger, to make you stumble. Receive another gospel. Receive another Jesus. Receive the wrong wine. Receive another teaching. And then you will stagger in spiritual darkness, which staggering means you can't find the way. You're a drunkard, and that's what the Word calls a drunkard. Now in Isaiah 29, I want you to look at this. Verse 9. Be delayed and wait. Just blind yourselves and just be blind, stay blind. If you want to be blind, you just be blind. If you want to be ignorant, just be ignorant. And they become drunk. There it is. But it's not with wine. They stagger. Now, I want you to mark this, a drunken stagger, but it's not with strong drink. You see? That's what I'm fixing to tell you. Because why? The hedge is removed from them, and the Lord has poured over them a what? A spirit of deep sleep. Now, I want you to know that's not steak and spirits. That's not slang. What it is, right there, he has removed the hedge, and he has said, sick them. So they move in to craftily deceive the minds. They're deceived, and you're going to see what their problem in a minute. They want to draw near with the Lord with their mouth, and their heart is far from God, and God removes the head. He says, sick them! And so he lets a deluding influence run. The same thing you see in Thessalonians, that people's heart, it wants to follow after signs and wonders instead of love of the truth. And he says they'll let him perish, and he lets a deluding influence come over him. That's the same thing right here. It is saying right here. If your heart goes to anything, gifts, healing, deliverance. Who is a healer? Jesus. Who is a deliverer? Jesus. What is a gift? It's part of Jesus. What are the experiences of Jesus? Rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is where? Don't take your eyes off of heaven. You better not take your eyes off of Jesus or anything. All right, now. For the Lord has poured over you, verse 10, a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, a prophet. He has covered your head, the seers, and the entire vision. This book right here is going to be like words of a what? Sealed book. That's why folks get in the Word right here and they're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because it's sealed. They're drawing near with their mouth instead of their heart. Because when you draw near to your heart, he said, those that love me are going to obey me. And the entire vision shall be like words of a sealed book, which when they give it to the one who is literate, saying, please read this, educated, he'll say, I cannot, for it is sealed. Then the book will be given to the illiterate, saying, please read this. And he'll say, I cannot read. Now, I want you to know the reason they're drunk. I want you to know why they stagger. I want you to know why God has put a spirit of deep sleep over them. You see it right here in verse 13. Then the Lord said, because. Because right here, circle. Because you're going to see. Because why God always does this. Because this people draw near with their words. They honor me with their lip service. They remove their hearts from far from me. Their hearts from me. They draw near their mouth. The religion and the reverence for me consists of tradition. Tradition. Tradition learned by rote, and you might put there mechanical repetition, just doing the same thing over and over. That's tradition. That's tradition. Now, verse 14, here's what God does for these folks. Therefore, behold, I once again deal marvelously with this people. wondrously marvelous. The wisdom of their wise men going to perish, the wisdom of God is going to leave them. What kind of wisdom comes in? The world and the flesh and the demons. You see that? You get another wisdom, and then the next part is, and the what? What's that word? All of a sudden, there's no need for any discernment. And the discernment of their discerning men shall be what? Concealed. They won't have any discernment. People that draw near their mouth and don't near the heart, all of a sudden, the discernment is gone. Now, if you build a building from here to Dallas, Texas, and I'm going to tell you what, see, it looks good because it looks like a business. When you look at mine, you think big's good when you look at it in the flesh, right? But what if it does not have any discernment in it? Who do you think's running it? If it doesn't have the anointing and the power of God in it, it's God in it. So then you build a monument from here to Dallas you can see with your eyes. What's that got to do with God? And put a copper top on it. Or whatever. Dear me. Verse 20. For the ruthless are going to come to an end, and this scorner, this old fleshly, will be finished. He's going to be finished, this scorner and scoffer. Indeed, all who are intent on this evildoer will be cut off. They're cut off. Who causes a person to be indicted by the words? They just pour their words on him and ensnare him, adjudicates at the gate that preaches the word, and that defraud the one in the right, and they just want to bring these meaningless arguments. Chapter 30, there's a Lord who execute a program, but it's not mine. Is that plain? You got some plans worked out, and they're not God's. You make an alliance, not in my spirit. This alliance could be with the world, or unevenly yoked devil, in order to add sin to sin. That's all I can do, just keep them going that next one.
Folks, I want to tell you something. You better tighten your safety belt. We're moving in some powerful things. This walk with the Lord. I mean, he means business. We're going to have a lot of grace to be able to take it. I believe this grace is moving us into a place where we can receive grace. It's been dark, folks. Very, very, very dark. A lot darker than you can comprehend. The enemy has so easily deceived us about so many things. And I want to give you an example of that. Do you know that the enemy, the powers of darkness, come and take the word out of your heart? Now, when the word's not too important, that's no big deal, see? Now you think the most important thing that the powers of darkness want to do to you, I want you to hear what I'm saying, is take the word away from you. If they keep the word away from you, they've got you. Now, if they get the word out of your heart, and I want you to know that that is the main attack of the powers of darkness, that you don't have this word in your heart. Turn to Mark 4, please. Praise your name. Praise you, Lord Jesus. In Mark 4, we're going to look at the parable of the word. We're going to come to a place when we get down to verse 13 that the Lord asked in this parable, if you do not understand this parable, how are you going to understand all the other parables? In other words, if you do not understand the parable of the word, how are you going to understand any parable? Which makes this parable, which we're reading right here, the most important parable in the word of God. Now, Jesus came before one of the largest congregations that ever stood in front of him. He didn't try to coax them after their flesh. He spoke spiritual things. He spoke in a mystery. You either have ears to hear or you don't. You don't hear if you don't come to God, if your heart's not turned to the Lord, as you see these people did. Now let's begin to look there in verse 1. And he began to teach Jesus by the sea, and such a very great multitude. A multitude's almost more than you can count, isn't it? But this is a very great multitude. That's like television in 14 states. And such a very great multitude gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea, and he sat down, and a whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Now, here's a good chance to build something right here. He had all these numbers right there that he had to get in a boat and get out in the sea, and all this great multitude. I think in Matthew 13, it calls it multitudes. We're there on the shore. Verse 2. And he was teaching them many things in parables, was saying to them in his teaching. Now here begins the parable in verse 3. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. It came about as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. You have any idea who these birds are? Those are the powers of darkness. The seed is the word of God. They come and eat the seed up. They take it away from people. Of course, this is a mystery right there. Other seed fell on the rock. Now, later on, when you get over in Luke 8, it calls it the birds of the air come and eat it up. Now, I told you about the beast of the field. The birds of the air is a type for the powers of darkness. And, of course, Luke 8 is a good example. That's the same parable right here where it calls the birds of the air come and eat up the seed. All right, now, verse 4, and it came about as he was sowing. Some seed fell beside the road. The birds came and ate it up. Verse 5, other seed fell on the rocky ground where it had not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. After the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns came, and it choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seed fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, the yield of the crop produced 30, 60, and 100. As he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, everyone had ears, didn't they? Everyone had ears, but he was talking about spiritual ears to hear. Now, there is a chance right there, I mean, to get them joined up. And the Lord Jesus Christ and all that great hundreds and hundreds of people spoke to them in the total mystery. You know what they understood? You know what they understood in the mystery and the parables they shared? Nothing. Not even in one of the 12 disciples even understood what he's saying. If the 12 disciples didn't understand what he's saying, none of the rest of all those hundreds understood what he's saying. But here's what he did. He took the disciples aside. Because disciples get to know the meaning of God. It's a word. Now, it's important to see this. Verse 10, and as soon as he was alone, his followers, or disciples, along with the 12. Now, I want you to know there's more than 12 disciples there, okay? There were, but anyway, the disciples began asking him what? They asking him about the parables. They didn't know what the parable meant. They want to know what the parable meant. Now, here you had this great crowd. I mean, Jesus spoke the word of God. If you didn't have ears to hear, you couldn't hear it. Did the Pharisees hear it? Pharisees are not hearing it today. Verse 11. And he was saying to them, here he has the disciples. Now the multitudes are gone. The Sunday morning crowd's gone. And he was saying to them, to you it has been given the mystery. The disciples have been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in the mystery. This Bible's been made to understood. Disciples understand what the Word of God means. Verse 12. In order that while seeing they may see and they do not perceive. Now that's exactly the way Jesus intended to be. He speaks this word in the mystery that while seeing you will not perceive if your heart is not a disciple's heart. And while hearing, they may hear and they'll not understand. They'll be ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Lest they repent, return, and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable out here? The parable of the word. How will you understand all the parables? All right, then he begins to the disciples. He tells them what this mystery is, as he is today. The sower sows the word. Now I want you to begin to see, brother and sister, that the attack against you by the powers of darkness is to steal the word out of your heart, and so that the word cannot work through you. And if this word does not work in you, you will not bear fruit for God. And when you're not bearing fruit for God, God is not doing a bunch through you. When you bear fruit, you know, you ask anything you ask, and it'll be given to you. I mean, you rule and reign, brother. I mean, God is working through you. But if he steals the word, you're not walking in covenant. If you're not walking in covenant, you don't bear any fruit. Are you seeing this? Now, you're fixing to see right here in this parable the attack against you to take the word out of your heart. This is one of the most important things I'll share with you these 3 days. What you're fixing to see in the word. You'll see how the powers of darkness, their motives and their goal, the main thing is keep the word of God out of your heart. Steal it from you. Now let's see it. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. The word is, that's what I'm doing right now, isn't it? I'm sowing the word of God. All right, now watch here. Verse 15. And these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. Is that you? And when they hear the word of God, just as quick as they hear the word of God, immediately, bang! Satan comes and what? He takes away the word. Will you underline that? He takes away the word which has been sown in them or in their heart. Now, let me tell you something. When it says Satan takes it, Satan can only be in one place at one time. Do you see that? I don't imagine Satan's going to get too tied up with one of you. So when you're talking about Satan, you're talking about the powers of darkness. It's synonymous. And we'll look at something about that later. You're talking about one, you're taking up. He comes and takes the word out of your heart, the powers of darkness. And we're going to see why the word's not in your heart. Hey, it takes the word of God out of your heart. Verse 16, a similar way, these are one whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, joy, joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only what? They're temporary. And then here comes the first of attack, affliction. Affliction will come to take that word. Or what's the next thing? Persecution. Let me ask you something. I'll tell you something, folks. If I kept my mind on all the things that's been said about me, I've had it. What I want to be eating off the tree of knowledge of good and evil for? When is a good tree to eat out of? I like to eat out of the tree of life, not death. It don't matter what... It matters for folks what they're saying, but it doesn't... What really matters? It matter what God said or what folks think? Huh? Absolutely. Thank you, brother. Now, what's the difference in you and me? There's no difference. God's God, isn't he? Whether it's you, me, I've got a part, you've got a part. Important thing, you say what God says and do what he says. Walk in it. Amen? The first attack on you is affliction to attack your body. And that does kind of destroy a lot of your faith, won't it? Do you ever notice, Pastor, I'm sure some of you heard of us never got involved in healing. Let me tell you what's going to happen in your church. If you never practice healing, you start in it. The powers of darkness are going to set up someone who they know they have so much ground in them, and they have such a right to be there, that you haven't come to a place to know how to get that ground back. And they'll begin talking and moving to set this man up as an example right away. And so instead of just praying for this man, anointing him, and you don't know what's in somebody's heart. I witnessed somebody, but I can't save them. I don't stop witnessing. I'm not the Savior. I pray for people healed. I can't heal them. I believe everyone I pray for is going to be healed. I don't know what's in their heart. You think everybody you baptize are saved? But then they'll set up a person, and then you'll make this a focal point. And as powers of darkness set you up, and then the powers of darkness know they've got that place and person close to death right then. Close to, a breakdown. They know. I'm not going to get in some of the details of how you can know, but they know. They know where they've got that body. And then, here you are, if you've heard preaching the scripture, and then, bang, right there, someone dies. And then the church bosses and the terrors begin jumping up and down. And then the powers of darkness attacked you. They attacked your wife. They attacked your family. And everything. Such pressure on you. Back off! Back off, Pat! It won't work! Back off! All intimidation and fear and everything's come on you because, see, you just didn't know. You hadn't come to a place where you know or suspected and hadn't dealt with the things, how the powers of darkness would trick you and deceive you and set up a situation like that. So the affliction comes against someone's body. And when this affliction comes, it steals people's faith. It steals the word. And then they begin to listen about this another Jesus, that Jesus can't do nothing, see. It steals the word. You know how you steal the word in your heart? They replace it with something else, a lie, another gospel, another Jesus. So, see, what we do, you take what light you have, if it's that much. You're not going to get all the light at one time. You're going to get light as you walk in the light. Pharisees wanted it all at one time, but they wasn't going to receive it. And they didn't get it. Neither will you. You'll walk in what light you have, because you're going to be tested. You'll be tested before you get more. We'll see where your heart really is, which headquarters your heart is really on. Now, the first attack is steal the word out of your heart is affliction. The second is persecution. Because, see, if your heart can become concerned about what people are saying about you and what your pride or things, see, you understand what you mean, it's going to sway you. You start eating all those words. God, I can't deal with that part of your Bible. It's hurting my ministry. God, I can't deal with that part of your ministry. It's hurting my reputation and my image. Junk. Deception. When a person ain't can ever do that with a persecution, everything, he's got the word. And you too. Now, so affliction and persecution, but you want it to. When affliction or persecution arises because of the what? And it always comes, it's promised it'll come to you. If you've got an image or a reputation, forget about it. You're not going to walk in the Word, you're in the flesh. You think they got it or not? Let's go in verse 18. And others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. Wonder what the word thorns are. These are the ones who have heard the word. Now, can I tell you what you're looking at right there? You're looking at the ministry. You understand that the powers of darkness have a ministry? You're looking at the ministry of the devil here that comes against you. That's how he steals the word. That's the war against the word. That is the blood. This is the blood that comes against you. This is the blood that comes out of Satan's mouth after the church. Now look at it. Here they are. And here becomes the third thing to steal the world, word in verse 19. And the what? The worries of the world. Now see, if your mind stays full, look here. If your mind stays full to get your heart going. See, the lust of the flesh at the worries of the world. Where are you living at? What are you worried about the world for? That's the third thing, to get your heart going. I have the worries of the world, is steal the word. And then the next thing, the fourth thing there, is a deceitfulness of riches. Get all you can. Don't get what you need. Get it all. Get that last quarter. Build you an empire. Just let all your heart just acquire all you can get. The deceitfulness of riches, where you'll be at ease and Zion in the flesh. The deceitful riches, and then the fifth thing right there is the desires for what? There are the thorns. They enter in the desires for other things. Now, as the desires for other things besides the Lord. And now what they talk to you? Look at me. They talk to you about the worries of the world. That's what goes in your mind. That's when you don't recognize it. It's flesh. Deceitfulness of riches. For your carton, that's where the world is out there. The desires for other things, lust of the flesh. When you got your mind, they talk to you there and get your heart on that. Hey, that word's not too important. And so, when you've got your heart on those things, that word can't work in you. For you to. And when you don't produce fruit for God, honey, they just ain't a whole lot of things that God's doing through you. Because you know what they've done? They've deceived you up here. And they got your heart going. All of these things are the lust of the flesh and getting your heart to live for temporal things instead of the eternal things, which is the covenant you were called to. Is that clear? Let's continue. They enter in and they choke the word, and the word becomes what? See, you can't bear fruit for God. Well, what are you going to do? Well, God and James 4 said, you're going to ask and you're not going to receive. You're living in the wrong place. You're walking in the wrong place. All your motives are all messed up. He's not going to cooperate with you, so your worries of the world, deceitful of riches and desires for other things. For your flesh, he's going to provide your needs. I don't mean you have to go out here and live in a sage field or something. Are you hearing me? All right, now those things come and steal the word. And those are the ones whom the seed was sown on the good soil. They hear the word, they accept it, which means they do it. And it bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. And he was saying to them, now watch this lamp. I believe the lamp's the word now. It's not brought to be put under a peck measure, is it? Or under bed, you don't hide it. If you got it, let it shine. Is it not put to be put on a lampstand? Now you put it on a lampstand by acting on the word of God, don't you? Right? The light shines when you act on it. When you walk in it, you're letting your light shine. Is that right? Now, for nothing, 22, is hidden except to be revealed. Now, we're still in the parable of the word. For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret that it should not come. Because nothing's hidden except to be revealed. If you know something, you start down here and put it in there. Plant it. If you go ahead and hold that back, you can't get rid of your church bosses. There's a man that got rid of some with the word of God. 23. Do you know how demons... I want to ask you something. I want to show you how a church boss works. Let me ask you, you ever get around a wreck? You ever been around a wreck, and before you can even get where you can see what's going on? Do you ever notice how fear is attacking you? You're fearful, and you don't even... Hey, you hadn't even got where you can see. You don't even see what's going on, but for some reason you're fearful, aren't you? Let me tell you a little secret. When there's a wreck, the powers of darkness converge on that kind of a thing. You'd be amazed in a wrecked situation the things that enter into peace of people's bodies through fear. All the works of shock and paralysis and all these things like this, we want to make so. Oh, dear me. Let me tell you something. You know, that's kind of what a church boss reminds me of, a wreck. Let me show you how. This is how the powers of darkness. Have you ever seen a church boss? Sure you have. Every time you get around him, they start putting fear on you. Isn't that correct? Huh? You ever notice that? You get around church, boy, something fear's getting on you, intimidation. Some say, it's better just to leave a thing alone than get involved with all that mess. And that's exactly what they want you to do. Not get involved in the mess. Just let the devil run it. You know, I just looked over right here, Pastor. I was up there in Tulsa. I'll just share one quick story. This man, a pastor up there in Tulsa, I went up there to be with... to visit with James there, and this man on a Saturday night, I thought he was going to be through on Saturday, and he asked me to come over. He's the interim pastor in the church. Asked me to visit with him in the church, and he just said, "You're a godly man." And boy, I'll tell you what, and I told him I would come over there on Sunday morning. Never met him before, and I'd come over and share with him because they decided to extend it another night. And I went over there, and just quick as I walked in, see, that's my part. I saw my heart broke. Because when I was a little boy, in different times, see, I recognized when I walked in there, the powers of darkness had to place. Those people absolutely just broke my heart. And you want to go up to somebody and say, "Hey, listen, I know the answer." Boy, I know how this place can be different if you'll just listen and do it right here. If you just say, "You can't do it like that. If God don't do it, it don't get done." Now, that's the thing. It's all up to God. But as I sit there and I heard my heart just broke. And Jeannie, who sings with James, she had asked me, you know, where I was going next morning. I told her I'd been invited in this church and asked her, she wanted to go. And so I said, "Well, Jeannie, why don't you bring two or three tapes and just sing when we go over there and everything?" And she said she would. And so Jeannie and I, we went over there to this brother's, where he was interim pastor. We went over to the... and so I sat down up front, and here Jeannie came up, and she, you know, Jeannie just wanted to kind of get things just a little live, because, you know, it just kind of helped everybody to hear the Word of God if they just a little life, you know. And so Jeannie there was bouncing around, and see, I just seen enough of this that I knew exactly what the powers... I knew what they were telling them. I knew how they programmed them. They program folks with labels and see if they can get you and then intimidate you and fearful. If they get labels and then they get you afraid of labels, they intimidate with labels, you know. Excuse me, charismatic folks, gone charismatic or whatever, so forth. But deep end. Going off the deep end. That's the deep end. If you start following God, you have sure enough gone off the deep end. And so anyway, she's up there, and I'm telling you, bless her heart, I saw her up there, and I just saw her, just know she just was trying, and I knew, and I could just spot, I could just see what they were, how they, you know, they start talking to you, sit there, you come in, do your thing, talk to you, leave. So when Jeannie got through, I walked up there. And, you know, I said, "She's a little charismatic, isn't she?" And these little grins begin to break out. He understands. He knows. This is the same way I used to be. That's how I know. So, I see he's just a little Pentecostal, too. And I was really getting in good. Well, I tell you what was in my heart. I really knew that my part, I had truth for them, because when I was a little boy, this is a kind of a situation I grew up with, and such a jungle and such a broken life that I lived, because I never could, I related that church to Jesus. And I knew, boy, if there's nothing that anything I saw when I grew up and that thing could do with any of the problems that I ever had, and so I never did turn to Jesus for the 40-something, until 40-something years, 43 years old. But anyway, I knew that I knew some truth, and I knew I might not come that way again, and I wanted to impart it and live it there. I knew that some could hear, and some couldn't hear, and it was up to God. I was just going to see what God had. So I began sharing here. I began sharing some things there, and you always know when you're getting to a place there, and it's kind of smacking a little bit and so forth. And then when I'd get to these places where it just smack a little bit, I noticed all their eyes would be cutting to this man over here on the front row. Here I'm talking now, looking at him. well, isn't that something? Here I'm the one doing the talking, and when I say things like this, they look to this man. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Pastor? He was living in it. And I kept on, and this was a terrible distraction to try to share the Word of God. You share something, everybody look and see what he thinks. And I just finally figured it out. He's a church boss. Isn't that something? So, is this right, brother? I just took my Bible, and I just thought, well, in order to get them to look at me, I'll just stand here and hear what the church boss says. Is that right, brother? So I stood right in front of the man, and boy, he wasn't happy. And he just turned his head down. He's red, and he's something like, shoot. Let me tell you something. Do you know something? That God used that situation, that some people come up after it's over, and God used that. Now, see, it wasn't my cleverness or anything, but God, watch over it. Boy, I could shout. And some poor little people that was in bondage there got free, and tears came in their eyes, and they were just so thankful. Isn't that right, brother? They came up there because there was something I couldn't do, but the Spirit of God honored His Word. Let me tell you something. Church bosses aren't Lord. Are they, brother? I love you, brother. All right. Verse 23. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And here's what it's saying, verse 24. And he was saying to them, please put this verse on the doorpost of your home. Are you ready? Take care what you listen to. Folks, I don't recommend eating off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Is this the power of the Word? Has no way? Take care what you listen to. Have you got that circle? Well, over in Luke 8, another parable of the Word, there the same parable says, take care of what you listen to. Take what you listen to and how you listen to is Luke 8, what I'm saying. Take care of what you listen to by your standard of measure, and whether you give it out and it shall be measured to you, in other words, as you walk over it and walk in the light, and more shall be given you beside. Isn't that beautiful? The more you have, the more you get if you walk in it. For whoever has what? The Word. He acts on it. To him shall more be given. And whoever does not have or act on the word, even what he has, is going to be what? Who's going to take it away from him? The powers of darkness. That's who you just read there. And you already know how they're going to take it away. They replace it with something else. Amen? Well, quickly in Matthew 13, just back up, I just want to show you a little bit about what God says to a people like this. Matthew 13, this is 1 through 15, 18 through 23, but I'm not going to look at all of it. This is so important, this parable of the Word, that's the reason I want to look at it in two different places. It is important, isn't it? Okay. We see in verse 2 that we got the same setting, the same thing. Verse 2, and great multitudes. See, there's more than one multitude there. Great multitudes came to hear Jesus. We see in the next several verses, he speaks the parable to them. And then verse 10, and the parables came and said to them, why do you speak to them in the mystery parables? And here's what Jesus said to the disciples, and this is what he's saying to you right now. Are you listening? Here's what he says. Is this the whole book of mystery? Let me ask you again. Is this whole book a mystery? All right. Now, this is why it's spoken in the ministry, mystery, and here's what he says to disciples. If you're a disciple, he's what he's saying. And he answered and said to them, to you, please circle to you disciples, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, disciples get to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it's not being granted. They'll be ever learning, never able to come to the truth. What was their problem? Because their hearts lack loaves and fishes. Their hearts lack signs and wonders. Their hearts lack large numbers. But their hearts really didn't love the Lord. But to them it's not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have abundance. Just what we read a while ago. But whoever does not have, even what he has, he'll be taken away from him. We know who takes it away, the powers of darkness. 13. Therefore I speak to them in a parable, because while seeing, now here's what he intend for them to not do. And this is the way it is today right now. While seeing, they do not see. Put a little one there. He does not intend for them to see. Do not hear. And number 3, nor do they what? Understand, he doesn't intend for people whose hearts not turned to him to hear, to see, or understand. And in their case, I want you to mark their case. We're going to look at their case. The prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. You're in the New Testament now, aren't you? That sure did get over here, didn't it? You'll keep on hearing, but you'll not understand. Now, that is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is that church, a depraved mind, it has a form of godliness, denies the power of God, and opposes the truth of God. Right there, they'll not understand. They're ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of truth. You're going to keep on seeing, but you'll not perceive. For the heart of this people has become what? Dull. And the powers of darkness have made it that way. And with their ears, they scarcely hear. They have what? Close their eyes. You know what close your eyes mean? They're going to sleep. They're asleep. Alert people aren't asleep. Ain't a lot of sleeping folks. They've closed their eyes, going to sleep. That's what he's saying. Lest they should see with their eyes. And they would hear with their ears, and they'd understand with their heart, and then they'd return, repent, and then I should heal them in that order. You see, hear, understand, repent, and get healed. He said, but the disciples, blessed your eyes because you see, and your ears because they hear. And let's just look up there a little bit. Verse 18, explain here then the parable of the word. Verse 19. When anyone hears the parable of the word of the kingdom, and for he's hearing the word. Now, we've talked about people that could hear the word, right? He hears the word, and he does not understand it. Amen? He doesn't understand the word. Well, isn't that interesting? The word's made to be understood, right? But he understands it, and then the devil, the demons come, and what? They come and snatch the word out of his heart. Now, look at me right here. You've got a man that hears the word of God. He can't understand the word of God. And the demons come and snatch it out of his heart. I want you to show you one other man right there. I'm not going to go through these same things. It's saying, here's all the attacks against the to get the word out of your heart right there. But let's go down to verse 23. And the one whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is man. Now look at he. He hears a word. He understands it. And he bears fruit. Well, isn't that amazing? Here you have got one man that hears the word of God. He can't understand it. And the demons come and take it out of his heart. You've got another man that hears the word of God. He understands it. And he bears fruit. Now, what's the difference in those two men? One understands, the other doesn't understand. One bears fruit, and the other doesn't bear fruit. Let me tell you the difference is. Good soil. The man in verse 23 has good soil. You know what that is? He's got a repentant heart, which is plowed up, fallow ground, to where he can receive. His heart is turned to the Lord where he can receive. He's not got hard soil. A hardened heart. Now, did we look over in James 4, 6 through 10, if you want to write that out there, and you see what good soil is, that is good soil. Now, the man up at 19 does not have good soil. He hears the word of God, he can't understand it. Now, you know what I'm saying in all this? If you want the word of God here to jump all over you, go to James 4, 6 through 10. Soul, and I'm going to tell you what, you'll want to quit your job. Amen. Because you become so interested in the Word of God that nothing else will matter when you understand it. Because let me tell you something, folks. I want you to understand it. When you're driving down the road, or you're reading everything, you don't figure out anything about God on your own. You don't figure out any spiritual things. May I just go ahead and tell you? When you're driving around the road and something comes to you, that's God. That's the Spirit of God. He'll just show it to you. Everything in this Word is revelation. It's not you. It's all grace. It's all Him. It's all Him. Now, I've only told to you about adding Jesus to one of your idols. You're lost if you're trying to add Him to one of your idols. So what the devil comes and takes the word out of the heart. And see, this person, the demonic attack on your mind to get you so indulgent in fleshly sins that you just become preoccupied and your heart goes after pride of position. See, that's the world. Acquiring possessions, pursuing pleasures, and so your life's purpose becomes selfishness, self-centeredness. It becomes I, me, my. And the word's not going to work in you. Are you seeing it? Now, turn to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Now let me tell you how you scatter a flock. You know you scatter a flock? You scatter a flock. Now I hope you don't miss this. You scatter a flock by, instead of them going on to bear fruit with the Lord, they are becoming, they're scattered. Now, I'm telling you, a flock can show up on Wednesday and Sunday and still be scattered, which we'll see. But when something becomes worldly, it's scattered. It's scattered back in the nations. It's worldly. Now, in Jeremiah 23, verse 1, woe to the who? To the shepherds who are what? Destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. Verse 2. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock. You have driven them away. You've not attended to them. Behold, I'm about to tend to you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Let's look at verse 10. Now, he's going to talk about this shepherd and his congregation. Verse 10, for the land, the church land, is full of what? Adulterers, say, in love with the world. And the land, where's the land at? Look here. Here's the land. There's the land that you feel. It mourns because of the what? Now, see, this is trampled ground. See, when you're worldly, I want you to know this is trampled ground. There's a war against your body, your mind, your will, and emotions, and that's what being scattered is, become worldly and everything. That's the lust of the flesh. You're wide open to it. Now, let's go on. Let's clear up. The land mourns because of the curse, and the pastors, is that the pastors where you feed for the word? Is that right? I can't hear you. The pastors of the wilderness have what? Dried up. Just, no word. Tell us some nice stories, shepherd. Their course is evil, and their mat is not right. It's the wrong kind of mat. Might be numbers. Leaven, for both prophet and priest are polluted. Even in my house I've found their wickedness, declares the Lord. Now, when I point out these things, folks, I need to tell you something. This is not talking about every shepherd. And some of the shepherds, just like me and just like you, are just with all their heart just seeking the truth. And then there's some, I'm talking about the ones that don't want the truth. Say amen? And this kind of ones that already there, already arrived, see? So let's be very careful with all the responsibility and things that's on shepherds. On them today, and the impossible situation that these rotten traditions have put on them, that we'd be careful how we accuse our label. Because maybe we've got to hold of some truth before some of them how. Because I want to tell you, a shepherd's heart will come to the truth. When he's given a heart to. But I imagine he kind of run. He'll come to the light. But, kind of like what James said, he might not come with the light stuck down his throat. That's been a problem with the body of Christ. Hey, we got the light, and we're going to run over here and stick it down his throat and say, and then spiritual pride, see? That's all stopped. So let's see, when I say these things, let's be careful that we don't get in the business of judging. Let's let the Lord do the judging. Won't do that? We can judge for righteousness' sake, can't we? Let's be sure. So, now as I pursue these things, I've got a lot to say about this kind of subject right here. But I want you to know there's a bunch of shepherds right here. And I tell you what, they didn't come here. They didn't come here. There's a lot of shepherds that's come here in the midst of a whole lot of words and persecution. They didn't even come here. Do you understand that? It's not a popular place to come to for some folks. It really is. And they need, I'll tell you what, you're hearing what I'm saying, aren't you? Okay. For both the prophet and the priest are polluted. Even in my house I've found their wickedness, declares the Lord. Verse 14, here it is. Now Jerusalem, that's a type of the church. We're in a heavenly Jerusalem, aren't we? And also among the prophets, Jerusalem, I have seen a what? What's God call it? It's a horrible thing. The committing of adultery, loving the world, and walking in falsehood traditions, if you care to put it in there. You're walking in falsehood, you're walking in traditions. And they strengthen the hands of evildoers, telling us stiff-necked and stubborn how righteous they are. They strengthen the hands of evildoers that no one turns back, no one repents. That no one is returned back from his wickedness. And all of them, watch this, they become to me like Sodom and are inhabitants like Gomorrah. What did he put on Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire, didn't he? May I just suggest to you right now, if I don't think I shared this with you, the Holy Ghost, is that the fire? The Holy Spirit? That's a fire. I want you to know the spirit of the devil is a fire, according to the Word. Now, you have to just see how the Scripture uses, so you know which fire you're talking about. I'm telling you, he let fire come on Sodom and Gomorrah. He's letting fire come on Sodom and Gomorrah today. And that's what he calls a flesh church. I know you see it over in Jude. And I know you see it in 2 Peter 2. Now, verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the what? The words of the prophets who are prophesying, preaching to you, they are leading you into what? Futility. That's what walking out of the flesh is. Futility. They speak a vision of their what? Own imagination. Now, when you start speaking your own imagination, you wonder who's helping your imagination up here. Huh? You can get a lot of help from Satan, the imagination. They speak a vision of their own imagination, and it's not from the mouth of the Lord. In other words, it doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from God. Now, wonder what kind of congregation they have. Do you know, let me just tell you a little scripture. In the New American Standard, particularly, in Psalm 81:15, it says, what is adulteress? Adulteress is someone that pretends obedience to God. Form of godliness. It's those who hate the Lord, God says in Psalms 81:15, you might write out this next verse, Psalms 81:15, those who hate the Lord are the ones who pretend obedience to Him, and their time of punishment will be forever. You like that? Well, let's just turn to it and read it. Back up, Psalm 81:15, hurry. Well, amen. Do you know the Israel right here? We're the Israel of God today. I can't hear you again. Oh, I appreciate that. Be alert and sober. Well, he's got an Israel of God. This is for us. This is a type of the people of God right here. Verse 11. But my people did, verse 11, my people did not want. They don't listen to the Word of God, and Israel does not, the church does not obey me, so I've given them over to what? Stubbornness of what? Their heart. Isn't that what you saw in Romans 1? Give them over to depraved minds, over to stubbornness, isn't that right? To what? They're going to walk in their own devices. I left that deluding spirit of sleep coming. Oh, that my people would listen to me. That Israel, that the church would walk in my ways. If they do that, I would quickly, I'd quickly subdue these enemies. I'd turn my hand against these adversaries. But those who hate the Lord are pretending obedience to Him, and their time of punishment is forever. Amen? Hath God said? Yes, sir, we just read it. Now this man who speaks a vision from his own imagination and leads them into futility, I kind of have an idea of this is the kind of congregation he's got that despise and hate the Lord. He said the ones that pretend to be, really hate the Lord. They're the ones that really hate the Lord. Well, let's go on and see right there. And verse 17 at the congregation, they keep saying to those who what? They despise the Lord. The Lord said the ones that love Him, obey Him. Is that right? I can't hear you. The ones that love the Lord, obey Him, and the ones who pretend obedience to Him, what? Hate Him! They despise Him. So he keeps saying to this congregation, who despise me, the Lord, here He is, His own imagination, here it comes, the Lord has said, you'll have peace. And every one of you just walks in the stubbornness of your heart, just keep on walking in that stubborn, stiff-necked, unrepentant heart, just keep walking there. A calamity is going to come on. You don't know demons at bar. You've already said your words. You're a good church member. Be a good this, and be a good that, and be a good this. Be a good Pentecostal. Be a good Methodist. Be a good Baptist. Be a good Charismatic. No calamity come on you if you'll be a good Baptist or Methodist. You're going to sit up here with me tomorrow, brother. I'm going to take you home with me. All right, now, verse 18. No calamity come on you, but 18. But who has stood in the council of the Lord? That's the council of the Holy Spirit. That he should see and hear his word, the word of the Lord. Who has given heed to his word and listened? And here they come. The hedge is down. Here they go. Verse 19. Behold the what? There they are. The storm of the Lord has gone forth in, what's that word? Wrath. I told you when there's wrath or anger, there they come. There they go. The storm has gone loose on this congregation. Even a whirling tempest, it'll whirl down on the head of this wicked, the wicked. The what? Out there. You can always know when the anger or wrath of God comes up, they are right behind it. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he's performed and carried out the purpose of his heart. And here it comes. In the last days, you're going to clearly understand it. And you're understanding it, aren't you? That's what saved until the last days. Well, there's a lot more to say to that. Do you know something? Let me just tell you something. If this seems like such a strange thing to you, do you know that in that context right there, I can go back and forth in new and old, here and over here, tie it in new, take the old, tie it in new. We could stay right there in that thing right there for 3 days. So if you think that's some strange thing, they just bushels of it. Now, in the last days, you'll clearly understand it. 21. I did not see these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied, preached. If they stood in my council, put HS there, it's the Holy Spirit. If they stood in the council of the Holy Spirit, then they'd be announcing my words to my people. They wouldn't be preaching form and social religion and flesh. And would have turned them back. They would have repented if a word is preached. Oh, you see that? He says, when you preach my word, folks will repent. Would him turn them back from their evil way and from evil or deeds. Now, what's the opposite of that? The opposite of that, back there is in 14, he says, I see a horrible string. They strengthen the hand of evildoers, and nobody turns from his wickedness. Right over there, it says in 22, if you preach the word of God, he said they repent and they can turn back from their evil way. People don't turn from the evil way with form and form of godliness and that sort of thing. Now, verse 28. The prophet who has a dream may relate his dream. But let him who has my word speak my word in what? Paul says we're not like many who peddle the word of God, but from sincerity. It's just from God. And we said, like God said, we say it, right? Now he goes ahead and says, what does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord? Now I want you to look at it and I'll explain it to you. Straw is stubble, burns up. Straw does not have any grain on it. Fruit. That's what comes from words. Words produce straw. The word produces grain, which is fruit. So that's what he says. What does straw have in common with grain? Now verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my sermons from each other. If you're not getting it from God, you got to get it somewhere. Because you have to look good. Make a name for yourself. With your glory. 31. Behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord. He used their tongue and declares the Lord declares. See, that's all the boasting and all the boasting and all the boasting. Draws attention and glory. Behold, verse 32. I'm against those who prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord. Related them, these false dreams, false prophesying. And then they lead my people where? And now where you're warned about being led astray with a craftiness like Eve, you're led, can you mind putting traditions there? You're led astray by falsehoods, traditions, and reckless what? Reckless what? That's a depraved man that boasts. Isn't that what we saw? A depraved man boasts. What do we have to boast about? We don't have anything to boast about except Calvary. Grace. Let me tell you something about boasting, folks. If the enemy can put your mind full of your own works, if your mind stays full of your own works, then of what you're doing, what we're doing, you know, just by the thing, we did this, and they did this, and he did this, and that did. Your mind said, you're never thinking about the works of the Lord. Your heart will never get to the works of the Lord. Because your heart is already on your own work. You've made your works an idol. But you've led them astray by your traditions and reckless boasting. I guess in the last days he might have thought some of that might have been going on, right? Yet I did not send them or command them to do they furnish this people the what? I'm going to need that man to come up here and just when I say what, just tell me what I'm saying right there. I've never seen a group like you before in my life. The slightest benefit declares the Lord. All right, so now what happened when you start talking about talks, when we get your mind and our heart on our works and our work, all our conversation is about our works, and we develop a little religious language about us, I, me, my, we, us, our church, our thing, our denomination, I, we, me, my, us, me, me, my, we, and we have this religious talk, and this one has religious talk. And this got itself some religious talk over here. And this got itself some religious talk over here. Hey, some other religious talk in here. All got religious talk. And then I leave and walk out the door and it'd been some kind of word of God and go out and leave and all the conversation is automobile is our works and our Sunday school and our church and our preacher and our this and that and the other. And go sit down at the table and eat, and say, us and me and mine, and here this little child grows up right in the middle of it, and you know, gets 18 years old, and leaves off to work, go to school, and knows it's phony as a $3 bill. Never seen God do nothing. And know it's a personality change in these folks when they get down there inside their brick and stone. So, what if somebody lets come out there and just on the way home and say, hey, I want to ask you something. You've been in there where you hear God. Hadn't you? Isn't that where you've been? Sir, could you tell me what he said today? Sure. We had high attendance day in Sunday school today. God knew this would happen. That's the reason he put 35 and 36 in there. Thus shall, verse 35, thus shall each of you say to his neighbor and to his brother. Oh, what's the Lord answer? What's the Lord spoken? What's he said today? 36, for you will no longer remember the word of the Lord, because every man's own words is going to become the oracle. And in this way, you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, of our God. Right there in one chapter, we look at shepherds who scatter the flock of God to become more worldly. Right there in this chapter, we look at their might is not right. They got the wrong kind of might. I told you Numbers could be one of them. They do not, in this way, he does not preach a word, but they preach their own visions and dreams. They pretend, this congregation pretends obedience to the Word of God. Because they say they really hate the Lord. They despise the Lord. They are telling them, peace, peace. Just keep walking in the stubbornness of your heart in this one chapter right here. And they will not speak His Word in truth. And people are led into their traditions and boasting. In this own chapter we just read there, that man's own words become the Word of God. Religious language. The Word is perverted. So in God's wrath, he says right here, he's going to send a storm on them. He said, you're going to understand it in the last day. Is that plain? By the way, if you're offended by all that, you're offended at the Word of God. Right there. It was just in your Bible. It's just in the Word of God. All right, now, will you please turn with me to Jeremiah 8? Jeremiah 8. Now, Jerusalem and Israel is a type of the people of God, a type for the church. Is that correct? As a matter of fact, we are in a heavenly Jerusalem. Isn't that right? Thank you. Five. Verse 5. Why then had this people, Jerusalem, turned away, the church turned away, and continual of what? Continual falling away from the Word. Amen? Well, let's see what they're doing right here causes all this falling away and so forth. They hold fast to their what? You know what deceit is? A lamb has everything up front. A deceitful wolf's figuring, maneuvering, scheme. They hold fast to deceit, and they refuse to what? Return, look at me. Return means to change directions and repent. That's what return means. Repent. Now they have listened, I have listened and heard, they've spoken what is not right. No man repented of his wickedness. They don't repent, we just saw it in 23. Saying, what have I done? Nobody looks around and saying, what have I done? Here's what to do. Everyone just turns to what? His course. His way. They're like a horse charging into battle. Planning for God. Even the stork in the sky knows her seasons. And the turtle dove and the swift and the thrush observe the time of migration. Here it comes. But my people do not know the ordinance of the Lord. The church today, the church of the Word. Absolutely not.
This concludes tape number 9. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning. Please proceed to tape number 10, where this message continues.